This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Bloomberg Quick Takes' Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Radio.
So we had some housing data today. Sales of previously owned U.S. homes falling in March by more than forecasts, really underscoring a housing market that's still on shaky footing despite some signs of stabilizing. And then we had some data earlier this week that showed single-family home building climbing to a three-month high in March. We're just trying to make sense of it all, Maddie. And then we had the 30-year fixed-rate mortgage averaging 6.39% as of April 20th. That was some data that came out yesterday from Freddie Mac. Today. And then the 30-year rose after dropping for five straight weeks. So I feel like there's conflicting stories when it comes to housing and what's going on. Our next guest, though, has a great window and vantage point into the mortgage market. His company works with 15 of the top 25 banks and lenders in the U.S. So here to get an update on what they are seeing and what they are doing is Joe Wellyu. He's founder and CEO of the fintech software platform Total Expert here in our Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studio. Welcome, welcome, welcome. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. Appreciate the opportunity.
Well, it's great to have you here, and you do come at this from a different point. Remind everybody who's listening and watching on Bloomberg what you guys do specifically and who you work with.
Sure. So Total Expert is a technology company that caters specifically to the financial services industry. And at a high level, the core of our technology is designed to help banks, lenders, modern financial services firms build really high quality, long-term relationships with customers.
What does that mean?
It really means understanding the consumer, using data to ultimately understand not just at a transactional level, but really going deep to understand holistically all of the financial needs and wants of a consumer so they can give higher quality advice throughout the entire financial journey, a consumer's entire financial journey.
Can I ask how you figure that out? Is it AI or what is it?
Well, you know, we do use AI, certainly, and it's an evolution. And ultimately, we partner with some amazing firms, some of the largest banks, independent mortgage companies, and credit unions in the country. And through that partnership, we evolve our technology to solve some of the needs they have in the business.
And which type of clients do you mainly work with? You mentioned some, but...
Yeah, we work with credit unions, yeah. Banks, independent mortgage banks, and insurance firms.
So like your big guys that have been reporting this week?
Yes, a few of those. I won't mention any names, yeah. But we have multiple banks in the top five. And then we have, if you think of the top couple of hundred lenders in the country, we work with a large percentage of those.
So what are you hearing are the biggest concerns then from the customers in terms of the data that you have?
Yeah, so I think as a general rule, financial services industry, particularly lending, is going through this shift to where they really understand it is about long-term relationships with consumers. And in order to earn the right to have those long-term relationships, you really have to be able to deliver value to those customers in a way that treats them as a unique individual human that has certain financial goals. And it should be about not just doing a transaction, but ultimately about financial fitness and really holistically helping them achieve their goals over time, such as homeownership as an example.
So did the collapse of three regionals impact that? And is that what you're kind of addressing, or was that going on prior to that?
So I think that some of that is there's some macro things that were happening there, certainly, that caused those. And, you know, we of course, are in the mix all the time. And I think there's a lot of there's a lot of caution with the regional banks right now and understanding that. But ultimately, we saw a brief amount of dislocation where consumers were concerned. And then ultimately, we don't see much of that at this point. We ultimately see the banks, lenders, credit unions, organizations we work with, independent mortgage banks as well, really leaning in to help their customers kind of navigate probably the most unstable financial time we've had in 15 years.
Is any of the advice that you're giving hitting on increasing savings accounts yields? Because we were just talking about people flying from the traditional banks, some of them I imagine you work with, to those high yield
savings accounts. So there is some of that strategy. And ultimately, it really goes back to understanding at a consumer level, I need to look at not just what I want to sell this customer, but I need to look at their entire financial picture and what's important to them, right? Yeah. So as an example, high yield savings accounts are certainly something that's important to consumers. And the organizations that we partner with are ultimately trying to say, you know, how do we become the best financial partner to this consumer and serve them in the products and services that those institutions ultimately sell?
So based on the data that you see in the companies that you work with, what are you seeing about lending activity? We're coming off just a period where we've heard from a lot of the banks, so we know a lot. But what are you seeing in terms of lending activity, whether it's individuals, whether it's to businesses, and signs that maybe things are indeed slowing down?
So I think there's really two angles you have to look at it with. So there, certainly we're in an environment where rates have went up at a greater pace than almost any time in modern history, okay? And so that's one side of the equation. The other side of the equation is the demand that we're seeing on the lending side is actually incredibly high. What's happening, though, is there's on the housing market specifically, we do a lot of our organizations we work with do lending for people purchasing homes, mortgages, and as well as home equity lending. We see a lot of appetite for demand for those types of loans. Where there's a gap is inventory. There's not as many homes on the market. And also, you're also seeing an adjustment period to where consumers that were looking at, say, a $500,000 home maybe a couple of years ago, and they had aspirations of being in a $500,000 home, well, now they have to look at a home that's about $325,000 to have the same level of affordability, right? So there's that adjustment period. So the data that you're seeing reported only tells part of the story. The other part of the story is actually homeownership's alive and well, plenty of demand, but there's definitely an adjustment period.
Can you explain that to me? Because I feel like the homeowning story is getting very confusing. Like every day there's a new data point that tells me a different story.
There is. And that's part of what we feel the industry, the organization, the financial services industry really needs to lean in to educating consumers on what's fact and what's ultimately just volatility in the market, right? And so if you think about, if you look at the last 10 years as an example, okay, homeowners achieved a 40 times higher increase in net worth than renters did, right? And so you don't necessarily see that in a lot of the headlines, but for the long term, homeownership as a foundational component of financial health and fitness is really critical. And so that is how we see organizations addressing that and educating consumers accordingly.
So I don't understand. So institutions are saying, if you want to increase your net wealth, here's how you do it. You buy a house.
So the organizations, institutions that we work with, for example, they're really leaning into educating consumers. Okay. Really leaning into educating them on debt. Also, what their financial goals are and how to build towards those financial goals. So home ownership is a part of the story. It's an important part of the story, but another part of the story, we have a lot of our companies that we work with and partner with do other types of consumer lending. So as an example, you're also seeing credit card debt increase dramatically in the last quarter of the year by almost at $1 trillion, I think was the statistic that I saw. So the organizations that work with these consumers really have to take their really an intentional approach to educating those consumers on how to manage their debt levels. And then things like home equity, which is a fundamental backstop for a lot of Americans. They have that equity to fall back on and how they can utilize that to maybe offset super high interest rate consumer debt.
Just got about 30 seconds. So net takeaway from what you are hearing, because you're B2B, right? Business to business.
Yes.
So what you are hearing from your clients that you work with, you know, financial institutions, big ones, I'm sure smaller ones too. What's the net takeaway about the market environment, the economic outlook? What would you say?
The net takeaway is that long term, the housing market is going to be an incredibly robust market, and home ownership is still an important part of the American dream. Short term, have to get really educated and smart about how that impacts each individual person's unique financial situation.
All right, we're going to leave it on that note. Joe, thank you so much. Well, I've got to say that F. Scott Fitzgerald once observed that there are no second acts in American lives. And our next guest, I'm certain, will tell you otherwise. We are so delighted to have with us Cherie and Tracy Syfax. They are entrepreneurs, they're restaurateurs, they're authors. They also happen to be husband and wife. Cherie's new book is Second Act, Living Boldly and Abundantly at Every Age. Tracy, too, has written a memoir, From the Block to the Boardroom, and they join us here in our Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio. And we're already feeling their energy on a Thursday that's been a little busy, and I'm feeling a little tired from being out late last night. Welcome. We want to hear your stories, because I do think, you know, we are living in a world where people do have second acts, or third acts, or fourth acts. We're living longer. We're able to do it. People move around. Cherie, I want to start with you. You've got a new book out. What was your second act, or what is your second act?
It is all-encompassing. Career, love, new place. I moved from Oakland to Philadelphia knowing no one at the age of 45.
That's a big move.
People would say, why are you doing that in this stage of your life? Left one career in Silicon Valley area, coming into medical devices in Philadelphia. Then met my husband, and now we're restaurateurs. Like you said, we just bought a restaurant in Philadelphia. So really just in every aspect of my life, I am living a second act, because I would have never thought that when I was in Oakland that I'd be here with you on Bloomberg Radio.
And here you are.
And here I am.
With Tracy.
With my husband.
And with your husband. So tell us about, you've been, I'm just going to go for it. You've been incarcerated.
Yes.
You've been a CEO.
Yes.
You've been selected as a champion of change by the Obama White House. Quite a second act.
Yes.
Or third act. Or fourth act.
Absolutely.
Tell us your story.
Well, as you said, I am formerly incarcerated, actually 30 years to the day. I was just posted on social media that I spent 30 years ago in solitary confinement in 1992. And just to be here now in Bloomberg studio telling my story is an awesome story. I started out a drug-addicted drug dealer, selling drugs to support my habit like so many other folks, and got caught up in the justice system, spent about 7 years in prison.
Wow.
But one of the things I always felt I was an entrepreneur. And I always felt that if I just changed the product, I could really do something good. So
I
did that in 1995. I started my first business and grew it to a multi-million dollar business in 7 years. And just ever since then, spin off and just being a serial entrepreneur, like I always thought I could be.
Well, Cherie, I wonder if you can come back in here and we can talk about the entrepreneurship journey you've gone on.
You know
on
where you
want to
go.
I want to go to the food. And then I'm going to go to the dating.
Okay.
I know. I thought you were going to do dating.
First.
I mean, I really do want to know about, okay, yeah, fine. I'll go to the dating, the match.com profile.
Yes.
The way you describe it in your notes is amazing.
You know, I wanted to make sure that I tell people who I was so that they could want to live in the fabulous life that I was living. Mm. I had been very satisfied in my single season, but I was like, hey, I want a husband. I want a life partner. And so I lived this really great life. I want to invite someone in. So that's how I created my profile. I didn't say anything about, I'm looking for this, I'm looking for that. I said, this is who I am.
Mm. Yeah.
So that invited someone in. Mm. And so that was what I help people understand about what they want to do with their profiles, is invite them in. Don't exclude them.
Well, it's a business issue. I know that's so Bloomberg-y of me to say, but it is. It's really important, and we don't talk enough about women who are in their second act of life finding love and partnership and the financial implications of that. And I know that's something you're passionate about as well.
Absolutely. And at certain ages, right? I mean,
sure.
People tell women at 40 or 45, if you're not married, you might as well forget
it's over.
It.
Yeah.
And
there was an anchor at CNN. Can I even go? Okay, we're not going to go there, but
right.
Go ahead.
Yep. People feel isolated. I know Justine Bateman was just talking about women and aging.
Yeah.
Sarah Jessica Parker has had issues with people commenting on her looks. And so women are just really, really villainized almost for aging. Mm. But there's so much more that we know. Financially, we're more stable. We know what we want intimately. We're more confident and clear. So I'm giving women permission to own that, embrace who you are, and so that you too can live your second life fully, abundantly, and attract everything that you want.
Hey,
because now you're real clear on what it is.
I totally agree. I wish we had more time. Tracy, we have a couple minutes, but so why do you think it's so important to share kind of what you went through and show people that, yeah, you can come back and you can have a second or third or fourth act?
Oh, absolutely. And it's just ironic that it's Second Chance Month. So we're having this conversation. I say all the time, you know, 70 million people in America touched by the criminal justice system.
Mm-hmm.
And those are just the ones that have gotten caught.
Right.
So the Bible teaches us that we've
all
seen.
And some unfairly or incorrectly.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So I think Second Chance, and as we look at, you know, my wife and her second act book, you know, we talk about how we are allowed those second and third chances in life. And what do we do with them? And I think that is so important. What do we do with our second and third chances? And I've been blessed to have been given that. And I just, you know, we take advantage of it in everything that we do in business and community.
What is your advice for people who are still writing their first and second acts that might be listening? I'd love to hear from both
of you.
Or in
their first act and don't like
wow.
it, right?
Yeah. I say learn from your mistakes, understand where you want to go, be honest with yourself about why you're not getting there. A lot of self-realization about, hey, what are some things that I can tweak or do differently? But then also recognizing that any mistakes that you make don't have to define you and they don't have to keep you there. You can still learn, apply different, and catapult from them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think we don't value mistakes enough or
failure. Oh, no.
Tracy, last 40 seconds.
I like
for you.
To say keep turning the pages.
Huh.
Keep turning the pages and you'll get to the end, and the end is a beautiful thing.
We'll come
and
back.
New beginnings.
Like, absolutely.
Your second act.
Absolutely. We just bought a restaurant. Come on down to Booker's in West Philly.
Absolutely.
There we go. We didn't get to the food.
Who would have thought at this stage of our lives, right?
Let us know how things are going. We'd love to have you come back. Good
absolutely.
Energy.
Absolutely.
Certainly in an environment where it's kind of tough and there's not such great energy around. So it's really fun to have
good.
Some time
Thanks,
with both
I
of you.
Appreciate it.
Awesome.
Thank
yeah.
You.
The Syfaxes, we're talking about Cherie and Tracy. As we said, entrepreneurs, restaurateurs, authors. Cherie's new book, Second Act, Living Bold. Boldly and abundantly at every age, and Tracy's book, From the Block to the Boardroom. When did you write that?
Oh, 2012.
Yes. So a few years out, but pick them both up. It sounds like great summer reading and weekend reading. Joining us here in our Interactive Brokers studio.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.